Blog Talk Radio.
You're gonna hear the tape this time.
And I'm your host, Red Snapper, and this is November 14th, 2011. And we've got it going on tonight as we're going to be bringing you the best in poetry, spoken word. And our guest tonight that we're going to be speaking with is none other than Miss Cotton herself. And along with her, a friend, a companion, a partner, Mr. GPA. And we'll be speaking with them in just a few minutes. And as we do, before we do that, I'm going to give you a little bit of admin as before we go into the show. As you know, there's been a couple of books that's been dropped by Midwest Publishing Group. One of the books is a paranormal. It's called The Peculiar Ones, and that has just dropped, and it's going to be out there for you to read. It's written by Red Snapper himself, me, as well as another small novella that has people caught by storm. It's called A Sisterhood Burning Desire, and you know how that goes when you write erotica. It's like that. So what we're going to be doing is we want you to go out and get those books because they're out there on Amazon, and you can get them on Barnes & Noble, and you can also get all Kindle books by Red Snapper at this time. They're going to be selling for 99 cents for any one of the 10 books that I have out right now, and you can get them between now and December 31st because I feel like it's a big thing for you to be able to do that, and I want to help with the, you know, although the economy is kind of messed up, I felt like I wanted to let you get my books for a cheaper price, and then, you know, it's helping me as well as helping you to be able to read some work that I've done. So we want to continue to go with that, and that's the way it goes. So while we're waiting on our guests to call in, I'm going to, you know, kind of go over some more things. We still have DV that's going to be calling in, hopefully, and bringing in his side of the story. And, you know, we're just waiting on our guests. So we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to get them to do some poetry, and they're pretty good at it. So we're going to have them, as soon as they call in, we'll have them introduce themselves, and we'll go from there. So they should be calling in momentarily. But like I said, for those of you that have questions for them when they call in, the number is 347-215-8539. And this is Word Sex Radio, and it's Grown Folks Radio, and we will be bringing it to you in live and living color. I think we have Miss Cotton right now. I think she just chimed in. How are you doing, baby?
I am good, hon. How are you?
We're doing just fine, and we're glad that you can make it this evening and come on the show and bring us some of your great poetry. And I know it's going to be all types of poetry, but the erotic poetry is what mostly everybody likes to listen to, and of course they get themselves tore down and tore out when you bring it like you do. So we hope that you'll be doing that this evening and smoke the airways with this Grown Folks Talk that you do. And we're definitely going to be happy for that. So what do you say about that?
I am always happy to be on your show, you know that, and I'm going to bring some new stuff to the listeners so they can get a view that, you know, a realization that I'm not just an erotic writer, you know.
But what's wrong with that, though? There's nothing wrong with erotica. I mean, erotica is a great thing, and you can be more than that, of course, but, you know, if that's what turns them on and gets them hot, then what the fuck? Why not?
Well, it's not that. It's just that, you know, I want people to know that I have versatility, and there's layers to me. I'm not just one. I'm not a woman that just sits at one stage. There's stages to who I am as a woman.
So do you think people see you that way, though? I mean, I don't think that. When I talk to you, I know there's more to you, and I know there's more substance to you than just erotica. It's just that that's an area that is very stimulating to those who don't know you, maybe, but we know that that's more to you than that. So do you think that people think of you as just a freak or someone that is just hot and that's all you think about is sex?
People look at me. I think a lot of the readers and listeners view me as just some eye candy or some sex object or toy. And it's not that. It's just that, you know, fortunately, it was the eroticism that got people paying attention to me, and so sometimes they don't even have to read anything that I've written. They just see my pictures and automatically get, you know, they take that
role.
Well,
the bedroom eyes doesn't help the bedroom eyes and all the way that you dress. So what are we supposed to do?
You know, you would think, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being eye candy, but I don't, you know, I get calls or I get men sending me naked pictures of their private parts, and I don't even need
naked
and
pictures
even
of private parts. Not real. Are you serious? We get that going on. My goodness.
I don't even know these people. Like, I'm like, really? You know, and I'm polite, so I politely tell them, please never do that again. You know, I don't even request pictures like that from people that I know. So I know I don't want to see somebody that I don't know. That's not a turn on for me.
Wow. So I think we have Mr. GTA. I don't know if this is him or not, but it's a 773 number, 370. Is that you, sir?
No.
It's not? Well, what's your name, and do you have a question?
Gary Rogers.
Hey, and how are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
Well, we're fine.
Hello? Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We're going in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're doing pretty fine, and we're glad that you was able to come on the show, and I'm sorry if you didn't have a question. We can come back to you if you like.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So I'm going to try this other 773 number and see if this is my friend. Caller, are you there?
I am here.
Is this the man himself?
Yes, let me just start it off like this. Before I even introduce myself or tell anybody who I am, let me just start off like this. I woke up this morning. My eyes stuck somewhere between open and closed. A cloudy haze formed in front of me. I had a vision, and this is how the vision went. I had vision of shuddering thighs, quivering, sweat becoming palpitating heartbeats. I had visions of canals flowing, turning into rivers, multiplying into oceans. I had visions of drip drops, drip drops, drip drops from a faucet, but the faucet breaking, turning into a dam, Niagara Falls. I had visions. And I woke up this morning with your orgasm on my mind.
Damn, I hope it wasn't mine.
Yeah, GPA, the poetic answer. What's really good? What's really good?
Look, man, you know I got to mess with you, brother. But we're glad to have you on the show. We're glad to have you on the show, Mr. GPA himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before we go any further, I know that we have DV Hint here, and we would like to welcome him to the show as well. How you doing, DV?
What's up,
DV?
Man?
Hey,
what's
DV.
With man, I didn't know everybody was here. I feel like,
well, yeah,
damn.
you know, tonight's show we're interviewing the poets, the spoken word artists this evening. We have Miss Cotton, and we also have Mr. GPA, and they're going to be doing some poetry for us this evening.
Okay, well, let me say hello to GPA and also Miss Cotton.
What's
up, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
It's good.
I know on the West Coast it's not exactly night yet, but you know it's getting there.
Yeah, it's not night yet, but you know, guess what? We know that you got the questions for both of them, because I definitely want to hear the answers. Since I was interviewed last week, I definitely want to hear the answers coming from these two people who seem to be very, very sensuous, even though they say they're not really into erotica all the time. But when you come on the show and you start out talking about pulsating thighs and dripping and shit, you know, to me, that's right. You know, you got to be thinking about something of that nature. Is that correct? So, yes. So what I'm going to do right now, before we go any further, I'm going to have each of the poets introduce themselves to those who don't know, and we're going to have them introduce what they've done, and then we're going to get into some of their poetry. How's that?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
So let's start with Miss Cotton. Miss Cotton, we know you've been on the show before, but there are some people that may not know who you are. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell them what you've done and what you got coming up. And then we'll have GPA do that afterwards. And hopefully DB has some questions for you guys.
Okay, well, before you say that, like, the reason why I called in so late is because I got caught up at work. And the questions that I
DB,
had...
DB, you can come off your head, brother. You can come off your head. I know you.
Yeah, no, I'm like, right now, like, I'm kind of stressed this morning, like, this morning. I've been at work since literally, like, 8 this morning. So, you know, I'm kind of frazzled.
So no questions from Mr. DV Hint?
Man, like, I apologize. I sincerely, you know, maybe when I get to sit down, because right now I'm driving, when I sit down, you know, I can think straight. But, man, it's
okay,
been one of those days where
I understand,
like, all it takes is a bad word for this flame to come on, man, for real.
Okay, I got you. Okay, Miss Cotton, you ready?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I am here. Okay. I am Cotton, the soft-spoken poet. For those of you who don't know me, I have 5 books out. The last book that I released was called The Love Letter. Please go to Amazon.com and pick it up. I have some performances that I have that are upcoming, and there are some performances that I've done live. I'm looking forward to doing a short tour of the Four Seasons, preferably with Mr. GPA, and Red Snapper is going to be helping out with that. So look for that. If you're local, then we also have Winter Love that's going to be coming up first, which will be December the 11th here in Sacramento. So if you're here, please come out and support. Mr. GPA will be coming down from Chicago and gracing us with some of his work. So,
oh boy.
That's good for me.
Okay. All right. Okay, so Mr. GPA.
Man, you can kind of, wait a minute. Everybody just stop what you're doing. You can kind of feel the electricity in the air. You can just sort of feel it building. It's been working up all day, working towards, I love Women Sexy Radio. So let me tell you, I'm privileged to be here. Red Snapper, you rock. You know what I'm saying? DD, you rock. Cotton, you know what it is. Let me tell you who I am. A lot of people look at my style and think it's narratives. You could call it poetic storytelling. I mean, I'm ashamed to tell you that instead of lifting weights and watching TV, I wrote a book while I was gelling. Came out, got on my grind some more, made it best-selling. Now if you check Google, Bing, Yahoo, Amazon, and Goodreads, they'll say my poetry is critically acclaimed. And I delved into a little debauchery. Wrote a book of erotica called A Book of 24 Orgasms and had his woman, that woman, those women, all those women screaming my name. Understand quite clearly. Everybody around, everybody within the voice, you can hear me. Listen to the way I elucidate. I enunciate with such diction perfectly, and I add some suspense. You hang on every word I say. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the controversial, iconic, most electrifying man in poetry. Dramatic pause. GPA. Let's go. If you weren't ready, if you've never had an interview with me, let's go. What's up?
Okay,
Essence,
brother.
We
like all that energy.
I've been waiting, man. I've been waiting to get back on your show. I didn't know whether you would boycott me or not. I was waiting, so I'm back. I'm finna just do it, man, tonight. Let's go.
All right, we ready. Well, what we gonna do before we go any further? I received some MP3s from your latest project that you just released, and. I know you're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, but I'm going to play one of them.
Okay.
Just to kind of get it started, if it's all right. I think it's going to be track 8 that we're going to play. And
okay.
We're going to let people listen to that so they can get a taste of Mr. GPA with some music in the background. So that's what we're going to do right now.
Cool.
Is that okay?
That's lovely.
All right, so let's listen to that right now.
Unsub, and the title of this piece, Round 548.
Oh, no!
With her right leg draping his left shoulder, her left leg doing the opposite of the right, her ample backside spilling into his palms, his vision face to face. An overflowing life-giving fountain begin to count. 60 licks swiftly, 60 licks slowly. 24 circles, 7 figure eights, 30 brushes upon the protrusion, 12 dart upon the basin floor. 365 alternating clockwise, counterclockwise swirl. So finally, you drown. number entitled this piece Clouds in 548, my poem.
I'm sorry about that. I hit the button and I messed it up there, but that shit was hot, man.
Listen,
I like that music in the background.
Orgasm. Thank you. Thank you. You know, coming from Red Snapper, y'all got to understand, Red Snapper and I got a unique relationship. You know, I'm dark, he's light, but we get along real cool, so it's all good.
There you go.
That was from the book of 24 Orgasms. The track was done by none other than Black Ice, international spoken word light artist. So, you know, I'm really proud of the CD, man. It's really hot. So, man, I appreciate you playing that. I appreciate y'all feedback. I'm Twittering right now with some of my peeps. I got some of my peeps listening in. Want to shout out to them.
Okay.
Shout out to Cotton.
And let them know that the chat room is open as well. If those who want to get on the chat is actually open, and you can do it at that time as well. The chat room is open, too.
Goodness.
So if anybody that's listening, we're taking it. There's one person that was there. I think they may have jumped off, but we're trying to get you all back on the chat. So if you got any questions, just go to the chat room. Also, the Word Sexy chat room is open. And if you've got any other questions, anybody out there listening, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And TV, what you think about that, man?
Man, like real talk, I can barely hear it.
Right.
There was a lot of background noise, and so like I wasn't able to really hear it like I should.
Okay, well we'll play it again before the show's over. We got two more tracks as well. And we're going to play, because I have tracks 8, 7, and 2. We're going to play those. Those were sent to me especially by someone who really enjoys the CD, and I'm not going to mention that name, Cotton. But anyway, we're going to go on, and we'll play some more. But, Miss Cotton, what did you think about that? Because you've heard these before, and you know that this was great. I like the lady in the back talking about, you know, I like that and all that stuff. So how did you take that and a woman's side of that?
As a woman's side, it's like I like that. So
I like that. Did you hear it? Did you hear it good? Because I know DV didn't get it because he was driving. But
I heard it very well. Actually, let me tell you, I went to Chicago, so I got to see GPA perform live. You know, a lot of times when you meet people via internet and you collaborate with them or you get to know them via internet. And then you finally meet them in person. They're really not all what they say they are, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, you're all right. Your performance was, but he was hot. He was hot. He did his thing.
Well, thank you.
And I was very honored to be able to watch him perform because he is, you know, I'm just a really great supporter of his. So I'm going to push it because I think he's freaking fabulous. And I could listen to that CD all freaking night. You could put it in the CD player and just let it play for any woman that just wants to relax or any man that wants to get his woman in the mood. That shit right there, that's it. Oh, my aunt ain't listening. But that right there, what is hot.
California just came out of you, didn't it?
What do I say about that? That shit was hot, though, I have to say. And like I said, if anybody have any questions, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. This is Grown Folks Radio. And we're doing it right now with Miss Cotton, the spoken word poet, and the fabulous, uncomparable Mr. GPA. And we've been listening to some of his tracks as he's been doing that. And we also have Mr. D.B. Hint here. He's on as well. And we're going to be talking with them, and they're going to be doing some poetry, spoken word. And we're going to be doing some of that here tonight. So that's what's going on Word Sexy Radio. And if you got questions, don't hesitate to ask because I see some numbers on my switchboard. But a lot of times people, if I click on you, and I know if you don't want to speak, you can just say you don't have to. I mean, I understand. I don't want you to hang up because everybody don't have to speak. But it's okay. I mean, if you have a question. So I'm going to go and to the switchboard and see if there's anyone who may have a question. Let's start with the lady that was here earlier I spoke with, the 903 area code. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, say your name and state where you're calling from and before you ask your question.
This is Stacy Honey Rain Barlow. I'm on Facebook also. And
okay.
I'm from Northeast Texas. I want to
know. Okay, well, thank you very much.
How you doing? I want to know, all how right. long did it take G to record the album?
Hey, how you doing, sister?
I'm good.
It actually didn't take very long. I went here to a local college, and Al Greer, shout out to Al Greer, he was kind enough to let me come in. It took me maybe like 3 weeks to go in to like record 2 poems at a time, and then in my last setting I did 4 poems, got them to Black Ice, and he took like a week and put it all together, and then that was pretty much it. It didn't take long at all. Not long at all, because I stored up a number of poems, and for those people who have the CD, they'll know it's a different mix and varied themes. So you're going to hear tonight, because we're on Word Sexy, like love themes, but then I also have some things from my first book, The Confessional Heart of a Man, some things that are a little harder, and, of course, you get the book of 24 Orgasms, and you'll get something from The Mind of an Unsung. So you get some of everything. So it took maybe a month, you know.
I have another question.
Okay, go ahead.
People are telling me I need to get on stage and everything, but I am so, me and Mike just don't get along, and I get nervous every single time, even on the telephone. So I want to know, do you get nervous before and during the show that you do?
And before you answer that, TPA, wait a minute, before you answer that question, she says she gets nervous. Now, how is she getting nervous with the sexy voice that she has right now?
Thank you. But no.
I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. But anyway, go ahead and answer the question.
You're a wild dude. But that's a great question. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to tell you something at the same time. I'm nervous all the time because I'm in regular mode, my secret identity, before I get to my GPA mode. So especially someplace like I played at the Ice Theater, and it's like 300 some people out there. And I never performed in front of those people. But the biggest thing with poetry, and I guess performing, is it's your stuff. So no matter what it is, like I assume you're a poet, meaning you write your stuff down first. There's a distinct difference. That's why I said that, between poetry and spoken word. I won't go too much into that, but being a poet, you know what you've written. So you have like a skeletal diagram of your poem. You know what goes where. So when you get to perform, if you stumble, if you stumble, no one else will know except you. You can always fill in the blanks. I always try to focus on somebody I'm cool with and just get lost in the poem. It's a beautiful thing about being a poet is you get lost in your poem, whereas you can go someplace and be looking off into the distance and people just think you're gone, but you're actually just, okay, I'm a little nervous, so let me get my focus together. You just get lost in the poem. But in answer to your question directly, yes, I do tend to get nervous. Now, the part about that is I get so into the GPA mode that afterwards I have to come down. I have to come down because I'm so up that I have to come on down.
Wow.
But I wanted to add on to that and tell you that if you're a writer, like I am, I'm a writer more so than I'm a performer. I just happen to do that. I've only been doing that 2 years. If you're a writer, write, because you don't necessarily have to get on the microphone to write. And there are different forums and venues for your writing to be seen or what have you. So continue to write. And then the time will come when you feel comfortable. When you feel comfortable, find you the cafes where they do the smaller poetry readings at, and get to that, and that'll get you your momentum to where you really want to get out there. That's a great question, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Is that all you have, ma'am?
Yes.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for listening.
You're welcome.
And please stay tuned and keep that sexy voice going, because you got it going on.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So before we get any more questions, we're going to see what Miss Cotton's got to say, because we know her sexy voice does it as well. So
right.
Do you have a poem for us, Miss Cotton?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Oh, no. How can you not be listening? We are saying that we are ready for you, baby, to come on with your poem, because we know you got that sexy voice.
Are you asking me a question? Because I'm losing it.
You're moving?
Yeah, you're moving. Like I can't, you're going in and out. I don't know if you're asking me a question or not.
Oh, what I've asked you is, well, are you ready to give us a poem of selection that you may have?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, well, we are ready for you with that sexy voice.
Okay, here we go. I'm not a sexy, but okay. This piece is called Cry For Me.
Okay. Are you in a room where there's a lot of noise going on, baby?
No, I'm in a room with perfect silence, but I can hear stuff on y'all's end or your end that's keeping me from hearing everything you say.
Yeah, well, I am in a room that's no one in it but me, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead and try. Let's see what we can do here. Okay.
cry for me. I wonder if he would ever cry for me. See, that's the ultimate compliment. I'm not looking for him to be a crier, just to cry at the thought of losing me or never having me in his life, causing such a great emotion that there's nothing else left for him to do but shed the tear of sadness and loss. I wonder if he remembers how I embraced and put my lips upon his face. He quivers when I take the time to share in his space. I know he wishes that I could do it over and over. See, I don't need him to cry because he got caught, cry before the loss, but before thought of ever doing anything that would cause him to lose something so sweet. Just the mere thought of losing me should make him take two steps back and remember our love and how it was meant. See, you and me and you, me and she makes three, and I don't get down like that. I need him to shed a tear of joy, not just because of the sexual joy, but because he enjoys the woman in me. Flowers are sweet, and oh, I love when he invites me to grab a bite to eat. See, that's just sweet. He would do that for anyone. I need him to cry at the thought of spending the rest of his life with me wrapped in his arms because I love his charm and his sexy ways. He sheds a tear when he's on one knee wanting me to hear that he's about to pop the question. Listen, lady, this is a life lesson and a beautiful blessing. See, only a real man can stand and shed a tear of joy, not treating you like you're his toy, but his pride, his queen, his treasure unseen. See, this is the thing. He's strong when you need him to be. I wonder if he would ever cry for me. That's the ultimate compliment.
Okay.
Wow.
So what made you come up with, what inspired you to write that?
Women are very confusing. They confuse our men into thinking that it's not okay for them to cry. It's okay for you to show emotion. It's okay for me to see that side of you that exists. You know, for me, you know, because you see me, you know, you cry at death. You know, you cry at other things, but it's very rare that you see a man crying for a woman because he don't want to lose her. You know what I'm saying? He'll cry if he got caught because he, you know, that's part of his game plan. He'll cry, you know, to try to woo her in, but cry because I don't want to ever lose you. And that's kind of where that went for me. I can never tell you that I've ever seen a man cry for a woman because he don't want to lose her, and I've definitely never had one cry for me because he want to lose me, because a lot of times men think that when they're in my circle, they think that I'm going to be here forever, and that's really not the case, because eventually I'm going to get tired of being pushed to the back burner, and I'm going to move on and make room for somebody who may be more interested. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where that came from.
All right. Well, that is very deep, very, very deep, very deep. I like that. And
yeah.
I felt the emotion in that. That's why I was asking what inspired you to do that. So before we go any further, let's see if we have any more questions out there in the audience. And like I said, if you do want to have a question and you're listening, the number is 347-215-8539. And this is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. And we do say what the fuck we want to, because you can yourself on this show. So let's see if area code 510-206. Do you have a question? Where are you calling from, and do you have a question? Okay, I have a question. All right. So we're going to go on further. DV, you there, right?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Sorry about it earlier.
Yeah. I understand. So what do you go ahead and say your thing, because I know you got something. I know you got something to say. So what you think about that?
No, I mean, like, poems, like, I've never really been very moved by poems. The words in poems, yes. but by the poems themselves, no. So, like, I'm a hard sell. You'd be hard-pressed to sell me poetry. And it's not because I dislike it. It's just simply because, you know, there are some people who like certain types of music and won't buy others. So, I mean, like Cotton's words and GPA's words, you know, I feel the passion behind them. Now, if you try to, if you, unless you're speaking them in an open mic, if you're trying to send me a book with them, I probably wouldn't get it. You know, that's just, you know, not my brand. You know what I'm saying? It's, poetry is a hard sell, and I'm one of those people that's a hard, that is hard to sell too. But like,
okay,
I said,
so what,
but as I'm listening to what they're saying, you know, I understand, you know, the passion behind their words.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. So even though you're not a person that's typical into poetry in that manner, is there anything, or what would make you come to that, to make you think of that way, or maybe think of even, you know, because of the words that they bring out and some of the passion that they put in it? Is there any way that you could be convinced?
Like if I was to go to, like I said, an open mic night or a jazz club where they're doing spoken word, that, you know, seeing people live is completely different than reading it, because you're seeing it through their eyes and you're seeing it as their vision, you know, rather than reading it and trying to understand what they're trying to tell you. So, I mean, in that, in kind of in that type of environment, you know, you could push me into purchasing, you know, the CD or the book. But other than that, like I said, I will always be a hard sell. You know, it's not that, like I said, you know, it's not that I dislike poetry, because poetry is actually one of the hardest mediums to write in, because, you know, because it's the ultimate form of expression, you know, the baseline of all expression, you know, in whether it be rhythmic pentameter or whether, you know, it be rhyming verse or whether it just, you know, just be outright, you know, just how you feel.
Well, I'll tell you what, that number eight track, I'm hot on that one. I'll tell you, I love that. Go ahead, Ms. Cotton.
I wanted to make this clear, and I'm not, I don't know, I'm hoping I'm speaking for GPA as well. I'm not sure, but we are, I am not a spoken word person at all. Don't, there is a difference. I am a poet. I do poetry. There are spoken word artists out there that do spoken word, and once you get into the realm of poetry and spoken word, then you kind of understand the difference between the two. You know, you will never,
and I do.
It's very rare that you'll ever hear me you'll very rarely hear me go to the same beat of my poetry. My poetry doesn't have the same beat every time. I'm not angry, because I'm not going to do any angry poetry. I'm not one of those women that get up and do a male bashing spoken word or poetry. I just don't do it. But I wanted to make that clear, because I heard y'all say it a few times, and I want the audience to know that I am a poet. I do poetry. So do not confuse me with somebody that does spoken word.
My goodness, that is hard. You just hit me in the head with that. Damn. I guess I have been labeling you wrong all this time.
Like I said, I don't know.
Okay, well, you heard it here. You heard it here on Word Sexy, and I'm not upset. It's just what it is. And you know the craft that you're in, so you should be able to explain. And there is a difference, because a lot of times you hear a lot of people that actually do spoken word. They get up and they have this certain way they deliver. And it's like, when I was at the store and I saw you and I, you know, that stuff just kind of messed me up. And you know, there's a difference in that, and those that do poetry. And I'm not a poet myself, so I am neither a poet or a spoken word person. So I don't do either one. All I do is write shit about fucking. No, I'm just saying. Anyway, we, you know, there's a difference in what we all do, and we understand. I'm glad you clarified that. So, but just so we can get an understanding of what the difference between poetry and spoken word is, how about this one?
GPA, the poetic unsung. The title of this piece is Love Everlasting. No heart of a man. Death is certain. My love for you exceeds eternity. If reincarnation be a possibility, then let me die 1,000 times so that I may love you over, over, and over again. Love everlasting. GPA.
where it comes from.
Now, you tell me what you think about that.
There's no spoken in there at all. I don't know. Where's GPA? I'm right here. Oh, okay. I'll let him talk. That's his. I don't
want to
sound. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm saying too much. I'm gonna let him say what his opinion is.
Actually, you haven't said enough. But go ahead, GPA. Go ahead.
I agree. I couldn't have put it any better than the way Cotton put it. I consider myself a poet because my lineage comes from Langston Hughes, Nikki Giovanni, Maya Angelou, William Blake, Wordsworth, Keats, Yeats, the Romantic era. So my basis, my subject matter is towards, as I said a lot of times, and you know this, Red, I write for women. I write to women. A lot of dudes, brothers, y'all can benefit from me writing to women because when she's done listening to me or reading something like the Book of 24 Orgasms, I got it ready for you. So you, a lot of these brothers can thank me because I helped them out, but I don't write necessarily towards them in certain instances. You know, I don't. I mean, it's just the truth. Now, something like
you get them ready for me. You get them ready for me. GPA. I can't do it myself. You did
it
for me.
You can do it yourself, but let me tell you something, man. Let me keep it 100. I'm gonna keep it 100. If you look on my support page, not fan page. If you look on my support page or my statuses and see what I write sometimes, middle of the night when a lot of people are sleeping and their sisters, women, up with me in the middle of the night checking like or reading or commenting, there are women out here that are looking for someone who needs someone, and I am the conduit between them and the someone they're looking for. All brothers have to do is make themselves credible and socially, status-wise, and emotionally available, and we can connect the dots. But I write in that lineage, and a lot of spoken word, no diss. A lot of spoken word is angry. I'm not angry. I'm handsome. I'm talented. I got a good family around me. Women like me. I'm not angry. So you're going to hear me talk about, like, some of the things, a couple of rhymes I'm going to do tonight, all about courting and talking to women and lust. I'm gonna give you some lust, ladies. Don't you worry. On a Monday night, you had a long work day. Boss was tripping, coworker was tripping, kids might be tripping, somebody, even that dude might be tripping. I got you tonight. Don't even worry about it. But I'm a poet. I write everything verse. I just happen to stumble into performing, so that's where God sent me to go. But I'm a poet, so. And there's a huge difference. There's a big chasm. I like that word. Keep that word for the night, ladies. Chasm. There's a huge chasm between poetry and spoken word. Enough said.
Okay. One thing I like about Mr. GPA is it's not arrogancy, but it's his confidence in what he does. And, you know, if nobody else is confident, he is. I mean, even if it's only for just himself,
it,
you know.
I mean, when they're the greatest one live, you know, it's kind of a requirement.
Yeah, I guess it would be, because if you are the greatest poet alive, then there's nobody else around that can do shit like him. So, I mean, you know, he's already got all the women, and he's got all the women wanting him and wanting all the shit that's going on, because up at night he's writing to these motherfuckers, and I'm sorry, he's writing to these women, and they're listening to him because we're asleep, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing, and he knows how to get them in place.
There we go.
Yeah, you know I got to mess with your GPA. That's what it's about, man, to bring in controversy, brother. Go ahead. That's what we do here. That's what we do. You know we got to do that. You know, there we go. This is Word Sexy Radio, baby.
Anybody listening right now, please don't get it misconstrued. I got mad love for Red. We do this. So please don't misconstrue. This is just good banter. This is just good banter.
You know how we
going
do it. There's no, like you said, you're not mad and I ain't either. So, but we want people to understand what it is that you're bringing. That's why I'm saying it that way, because we want to understand what you're bringing. Now, Miss Cotton, we know that you're bringing it too now, to the men. So is that the same kind of attitude that you have toward the men?
That is the same kind of attitude that I have towards the men. But, you know, I don't just write for men. I write because I want the women to understand that there's a certain way that you need to treat your man. And that
there we go. And I know that's what GPA does, too. We get to that. Okay.
Men want the same things that women want. They just don't talk about it. And so, you know, most men don't sit down and talk to their women and say, okay, honey, this is what I want from you. Because then they're considered weak. And that's not the case. The case is that allow a man to be a man. No matter what he's giving you, he's still a man. You know what I'm saying? So I can't.
You need to say that again. You need to repeat that again.
Let him be a man. I'm not going to take anything. I'm not going to take anything away from him that's going to keep him from being the man that I need him to be for me. And this is what a lot of our women. This is why I say women confuse our men because of our behavior. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not one of those women. But a lot of women I've watched is what they'll do is if a man is the kind of man that opens the doors for any woman, then let him do that. Don't tell him that he can't do that or if he's weak. Let him be the man he is because, see, God made Adam first, not Eve. So let him be the man that God made him to be. End of story. You know, but a lot of women don't get that. So when I write because I want men to understand that I understand. And there are women out there that do understand what you're going through. But at the same time, women need to understand that you need to start treating men differently and behaving differently so that you can have a decent relationship if that's what you want. If you don't, then you'll keep doing the same type of behavior, but don't cry about it later.
Wow, that was a lot said, Matt. So what do you think about that? Anybody want to comment on that?
That was awesome. That was well yeah. articulated. Yes. Yes.
I mean,
very
thing,
well articulated.
Go ahead, Bibi. And they said it right, you know, right? They hit the nail on the head. I mean, ultimately, you know, there are, you know, we grew up with that conundrum that women always try to change men and men hope that women stay the same. But, you know, sometimes in reality, you know, I was having this debate with somebody else. I said, you know, the expectation that the man is going to be the, you know, going to change is the same expectation that you're going to stay the same. If you're going to try to change a man, then you have to follow his wishes as well. If he wants you at 120, then you got to stay 120, and that's not realistic. So I mean,
well, I just want to say this, not trying to cut you off, but what is it that people think that they have to change? If they're with somebody, they got to change, and why they got to be with them in the first place? If they have to change this person, why are you with them in the first place?
People automatically relate change with growth. You know, and there, you know, people say they're synonymous. You know, if in order to change, in order to grow, you got to change. That's not always the case. We grow at our own speed. You know, if you're going to help a man be a better man, then lead by example. You know, don't tell him what he's supposed to be and how he's supposed to do it. You know, just with men, you know, we're very prideful. So, I mean, show us, don't tell us. Let us know what, you know, the expectations you have. But if we're not moving as fast as you want us to move, then, you know, you can't try to jump down our throats and nag. So, let that man grow into that role.
Along the same lines, if he says he wants to change and he wants something better, then what's your position as a woman is to stand by his side, ask him what he needs you to do, and then be there when he needs you. He don't need you to step to the forefront and try to take over or make him do something different. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it in his own time. But you forcing him or trying to lead him or push him is going to push him away and into somebody else's arm who's going to stand by his side and just be there silently until he needs her.
You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of women sometimes, and I'm not saying all women, but I think a lot of times, a lot of women think that when they do that, I mean, or if they was to do what you're saying, that they're the one that's yielding to him and they're kissing his ass and they're not strong. I don't understand what's wrong with compromising together, because that's what relationships are anyway. You're going to have to compromise to a point to each other. But sometimes I think that a lot of women think that if they got this man in their pocket or whatever they want to do, that they have more control of that. And I don't understand why they feel that they have to do that. I mean, I understand it's women's lib shit and all this that came out. But, you know, some of that stuff is just overbearing and overdone. They need to get the fuck away from that shit and let it go and just be women like they're supposed to be. I'm not saying kiss the man's ass, let him just walk over you, but I'm just saying, just like you're saying, give the man a chance to be a man, and he and if he's treating you right, let him treat you like a woman.
That's right. And it's not kissing his ass. It's being the woman that he needs you to be. He don't need you to be the man. He needs you to be the woman and be by his side in those instances. And so women need to learn that the word submissive does not mean obey.
Right. So let me ask you this then.
And
since we're going to that, and we get into this, so what is the deal with women who make more money than their man, and they think that they can run his ass because they make more money? Anybody got any questions on that one? Call in 347-215-8539, because I sure want to know what y'all think about that. So give me something on it. Anybody?
Nobody had the response.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what? Like, I don't. Sometimes we learn things through experience, and sometimes we learn it through other people's experience. I personally don't have that experience. But this is the thing. If somebody is paying the bills, I ultimately don't see the problem. You know, because there's a lot worse headaches to deal with. You know, when you're not making enough money. Believe me, those are the type of relationships that you want to be in, where you find yourself constantly arguing and constantly dealing with headaches because you ain't got enough to make ends meet. So, I mean,
right.
If a woman...
Go ahead.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't care if a man is making 10 times the amount his woman is making or if it's vice versa. You know, respect. If you understand that that's not the relationship that you want to be in, then bow out gracefully. You know, don't demean or disrespect the other person simply because you feel like, well, that's the only way that you're going to be on equal footing. You know, just...
Okay, well, in the chat room, we got Melody, and I'm going to do something for her here in a minute, but she says that I don't think a woman is running her man if she makes more money than him. In most cases, it's not, but a lot of times you do have women that do use that card against men. And it's no, it's in their reactions and in their attitude. So... not every woman is that way, but that does happen. So can somebody elaborate on that? And we'll get some questions here in a minute.
A lot of women do, and I think it's because they feel empowered. Like now they feel like that they're wearing the pants and that he's the weaker of the two because maybe he's not making as much money, and that's not true. And I don't think you shouldn't hold anything over anybody's head because I'm never going to make the exact same amount as you. That probably won't happen. I don't know that it's ever been like that in most relationships where I'm making the exact the same amount of dollar as you or we're doing the exact same thing. You just have to learn how to be supported. And if I'm the one for you, you'll never hang anything over my head like that, ever.
So what about men who do that to women? Because Melody came back with men do it too, and I got to make sure I get that out so she knows that because she says that they have multiple relationships with women they take care of because they are making money. It's an entire.
It's
because the women allow it.
It's a power thing.
You know, right.
So women don't do that?
Yeah, women do it too. It's a power thing.
Yep. Okay, so because I always hear the man is the one that's always out there fucking around, but women know how to do it better, so they don't get caught as much. So I mean, my thing is, they if they got a lot of money, they can have some side pieces as well. I believe that.
But
now,
this is the thing. There are certain women who will not allow that to happen. Like Juanita Jordan, when she found out that Michael Jordan was really
going into sports. Go ahead.
Right, but see, this Melanie is the thing. Juanita Jordan. They had no proof. But when she got proof that Michael Jordan, she took him for half his worth. She's like, I ain't on that. You know, and you have to respect that woman. As much as people are like, oh, she took him for half his stuff, you got to respect a woman who's going to put her foot down. You know, and she's like, look, if I catch you messing around on me, you're done. You know, so, I mean, ultimately, if you allow, you know, I watch this, like, I don't watch it, but I catch this crazy show, basketball-wise, where these women know
they're
messing
around.
Oh,
yeah, I watch that shit. I ain't going to lie. I watch it, yeah.
I have never watched the show because the ignorance in the show upsets me greatly to no end. I can't watch it. Yeah, they fine.
They're good to look at.
You know,
they fine, but they, you're right. They are
they dumb. They dumb.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
You know, and I can't stand a dumb woman. I just can't.
Well, I don't either. I can't stand it either. I mean, I don't want no woman that I can't conversate with or even or have some kind of a conversation with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Some people like that. But
you know what I mean?
My thing
you know
is,
what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we're missing GPA's opinion. Come on, buddy. It's 3-on-1 now. We ain't getting overrun by women tonight. Not tonight.
I've been trying to say something.
Now, GPA, he's tickling their pussy
when they come to red, you got to jump in, man. You can't be respectful. You got to say what you got to say and get out.
On the basketball wise, you know what, though? Let me tell you what they didn't figure out. Just on that, and we'll go backwards. They didn't figure out how to reel you in.
Exactly.
So a lot of what we see is just a portrayal for the ratings. A lot of that isn't like, for real, they take these clips. I was on a reality show once, and they take these clips, and then they fuse them together to get the attraction. As far as the men and the women with the money, if that's all they had, I came from a relationship like that. My ex-wife made more money than me, so that was her thing. She wanted to lord over the thing because I'm just a poet, right? But and that was her thing. That was her thing to grab on. So a lot of people, when they do that, that's their insecurities and that's their one crutch that they have. Like, hey, I make this paper. You don't make this paper. Blah blah blah. And that's their crutch. So that's what they lean on. And it's just easy. Like I'm trying to remember who said it, but it's called allowance. We can't allow things to happen. Like a lot of women, when y'all complain, I'm gonna directly talk to you. When y'all complain about stuff, y'all allow stuff to happen. I mean, when you see something and then you ignore it, even though it's right there in front of you, you can't blame nobody but yourself.
Exactly. The red flags are showing. The flags are there, and they say, oh, well, maybe it's just me, you know. I mean, it starts out in the beginning of relationships. You see a lot of things in the beginning. And then once you get to know somebody, you just slept with them a couple of times and everything. Now all of a sudden it's getting normal. Then you want to complain about some of the shit you saw when you should have said it in the first place.
And you gotta
But let me say this
you
real quick. Melanie wrote in the chat room, she said, traditional beliefs have us thinking that a man is less because he makes less. But in the economy, the partnership and maintain the bond is a challenge. But it should be what is important these days. So y'all agree or disagree on that?
I want to make sure I heard that right. So if a man makes less...
You want me to read it again? It says, traditional beliefs have us thinking that a man is less because he makes less. But in the economy, the partnership and maintaining the bond is a challenge. But it should be what is important these days.
Well, in a perfect world. He's right, in a perfect world. But if you go back beyond before that statement's even written, the preface before that should be, no matter what, it says, and I'm not even talking about just in marriage, when you coming together in a relationship, it's supposed to be give and take. I got a joke about budget dating. What about when we can't go? Grand Lux is a popular restaurant here in Chicago. When we can't go to Grand Lux, maybe we got to go to Jack's Corned Beef Shop and grab a
couple of moves. Maybe we got to go to the kitchen. Why are you playing to the kitchen?
Thank you.
What's wrong with the kitchen?
You know what I'm saying?
But see, when you do that, see, then a lot, we become so conditioned with materialism, a lot of people will look at you, a lot of sisters might look at you and be like, oh, well, we can't do this or we can't do that. They talk. And I'm going to say this, too, and this is going to piss some people off, but a lot of people, they get on their Facebook statuses, they get on Twitter, they get on all this, a lot of sisters, a lot of women, and y'all say that y'all got it in you. Y'all say that. Y'all put up this billboard and say, I'm a good woman, I can understand, I can work with my man, and then when it gets a little hectic, starts raining just a little bit, not even a downpour. So a few drizzles, you buckle. You know, that's not what it is. You know, that's not what it is. It's got to be give and take. Because if I'm shining, now think about this. If I'm shining and doing well, you want me to shower. You want me to shower you. But if I'm struggling and you with me, then you're looking at me like I'm crazy. That's one of them foul double standards right there. So that's my take on that right there. But that was a good statement.
Hey,
DV, I like
DV, DV, he put it in, didn't he? He you got him to speak. He spoke. Okay, now, it's Cotton.
It's so bells.
I know we're supposed to be doing poetry. We got about 30 minutes left. But, you know, we got to put some relationship stuff in. That's what we do on Word Sexy Radio. We have to talk about that as well because it's important that we, you know, find the real reason why. And it all goes along with the poetry that you do and some of the things that you experience in writing the poetry you write because there's a lot of things that you feel. So I don't understand, you know, why is it that relationships are. I mean, I know everybody's relationship is different and all that, but, you know, why is it hard for people today, I mean, especially African-Americans, to understand that it's not everybody is the same? And what I get, I guess where I'm leading to is, all the questions that I see are relationships you get in a lot of times with people. You know, they try not to, or they say they're not, but they always try to pull you into something that somebody else treated them, or, you know, they say that they're not going to judge you on that, but then a lot of times you get this going on, okay, the last person did this to me, so you're going to think that this person you're with now is doing the same thing. Why is that? I mean, that could be men, not just women, anybody.
Because they're not ready. They're not ready. They're not ready to move forward. They're not ready to have a real relationship. Because when you're past the point of what the last person did, I can never, and I'm taking this more personal. I can never make you pay for somebody else's past mistake. Because if I do that, that means I haven't let go yet, and that means I'm not ready to move on. Once I'm ready to move on, what the last person did won't even matter, because now it's your turn to prove to me that you are who you say you are. So I don't care about the last person anymore. The last person is done. You know what I'm saying? So
I hate you. And I wish a lot of people would do that, because a lot of people don't. They say they can. They say they can, and just like a lot of them say they can do a certain lot of things in the beginning, and then once they start getting feelings involved, everything changes. So, you know, it's, they start trying to change you again and make you this thing, you know, that they want. Why is that?
Not,
I just don't.
That's the right one. It all boils down to when somebody's trying to change you and it becomes more difficult, and they're not, if it's not smooth, that they're not the one. And it kills me because people ask that question, like, well, why? Because they're not the one. It's the signs that God showed men signs just like he showed women signs. And
the red
and
flags again.
Right, along the lines of what GPA said earlier, if I'm a woman and I'm in a relationship with a man, he cheated on me once, he cheated on me twice, he cheated on me three times, and now I'm crying, like, why does he keep, it's my damn fault. Get up and get the hell out. Why are you still here? So now you want to be mad at him because he is being who he is, and that is who he is, and you want him to be something different to you when he's already shown you who he is. He
who
is
he
a
is always
cheater. Right, so don't be mad at him. Get out, move on. And the same goes for
a man. And you heard it here. Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry. Go ahead, keep talking.
The same goes for a man. If your woman is cheating, or if she's doing X, Y, and Z, or say, for instance, if she's one of those women that's spending up all your money, don't ask why. This is who she was when you met her. This is who she's going to
continue
to be. Don't be mad. Move on.
That's right. If she was a gold digger when you met her, then she's going to continue to be. So here we go now. We got area code 206. Do you have a question?
I know somebody calling in.
Area code 206, do you have a question? I guess they do not. How about, let's try one more here. Let's try area code 773 with 370. You have a question?
I wanted to join in because each and every last one of you were hitting on some point. And I think
you can join in right now. You can. You can join in right now. What's your name and where you calling from?
I'm Mary Rogers, and I'm from Rogers Park, Chicago, Illinois. I've said this several times. I'm old-fashioned. I believe in the man is the head. And I believe in, just like it takes a man to teach a woman how to treat a man, just like it takes a woman to teach a son how to treat a woman.
Right.
I believe in each every last thing you all said, if you just hit on some point. And it's true.
Church.
Women tell men what they want to hear to get what they want. Men tell women, vice versa. It just goes on and on and on. And it all starts with insecurity, distrust, all of it. And there's totally nothing wrong with being submissive for the right reasons. Nothing.
For the right reasons. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times people think submissive means kiss ass, like I said before, and think that you got to do everything as man, and he's supposed to beat your ass and all that. And it's got nothing to do with that at all. Because the man has to be submissive to the woman as well. See, people don't understand. It's too
weird. We have to teach as kids, as they are growing up. I'm a single parent, but trust and believe, I make sure my girls learn to respect the men just as well as they respect themselves and allow
I mean,
respect.
I agree with
it's
that.
All about respect.
I agree that the prevailing thought is that, I mean, there's a lot of single, and especially in the black community, we got a lot of single parents. And there's a lot of parents spending so much time teaching their kids how to hate the opposite sex that
exactly.
they never really teach them anything else. So all
right.
they grow up knowing is how to resent other people and how to be mad at other people and how to, you know, undermine what they have. Because they say, what do they say? Misery enjoys company. And
because they allow the media to raise their kids.
Right.
Exactly. Well, let me say
this. They allow media to dictate relationships.
Right. Well, let me say this. Since y'all bringing that in, and a lot of times, since it is a lot of single parent homes, well, let me say this. What is it about these women who bashed the man that left them with the kids? Okay, I understand he left, and whatever reasons they left, and all that. I'm not taking up for the man who left. But what I'm saying is when you're sitting there and you're dogging this man all the time to these kids.
Uh-huh.
Well, how much effect does that have?
Well,
I mean,
they have to take
responsibility. I can't speak for them because I have never been a man basher. I honestly cannot answer that.
Okay.
I have never.
Well, DB,
I
know
mean,
you have something to say.
I can't like, answer that.
As many as if you're out there bashing people, then you also have to take responsibility. Because, you know, I mean, we none of us make the best decisions. Life is about learning and living. And so sometimes when you meet somebody who leaves you in that position, you have to wake up and realize, look, you know, it was partly him, but it was partly me that allowed him to put me in this position. You know, so take responsibility for your life and move on. Find somebody that will do you better and treat you better rather
and
than
don't
lament
tell
somebody
the kids,
who did you
and
wrong.
And don't dog the kids because you're telling the kids all this crap about this guy, even if he did do some wrong things. Like I said, people make decisions, they make mistakes, they do things. You know, it's not right. They leave you in positions or whatever the case. But still, I don't see how telling this man, telling this kid, your daddy ain't shit and he did this, blah, 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 is going to help.
Exactly.
Anything. What does that do?
Like, you know,
it doesn't teach anything.
My mother used to always stress this. She says, if you want to have better, be better. You know, and that applies to, you know, a lot. That applies to a plethora of things. A whole, if you want to have better, then be better. And sometimes, you know, when you're a kid, you don't understand that. But as an adult, it seems so simple. You know, you dictate the course of your life. Nobody has laid this path out in front of you and said that you had to follow it. So if this is the path that you're on, then do as best as you can while you own it.
And you know, something, I'm looking at the chat room again, and I'm getting it from Melody again. She's saying that she agrees that some women can't even function in a relationship because they don't, unless it has drama involved in it.
So that's probably what they used to.
Very true. Very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And I know women who tell, I've known women in my past who've told me that if a man isn't ready to fight for a woman or beat up another man, then he don't love her. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And,
yeah, I've
and
heard
that's
that
like,
before.
Are you serious? You know what I'm saying?
Heard
if a
that
man
before,
has,
too.
If a man
yeah.
has to constantly fight for you, he can do better with somebody else that he doesn't have to constantly fight for or with.
Exactly.
Yes. And we got about 21 minutes left, so if you've got any questions out there, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're talking about relationships, even though we started with some poetry. And like I said, to do poetry, we know that it takes a lot, and it's a lot of emotional and everything, and these poets have that, and they're great poets, and they're not spoken word artists. So we want to make sure we clarify that. And also, they're people, and they've been through some things. That's why we have these questions going, and that's what we do on Word Sexy Radio anyway, is we do that. And we want you to chime in and call in with your questions because we're not here to bite. We don't see you. We don't know who you are, so you can say what you want. You can even use a fake name if you want to. Nobody knows, okay? We're not going to say your whole phone number, so if anybody's listening, they're not going to know it's you. So just call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Grown Folks Radio, and we do it like that on here. And if you want to get on the chat room, you can go to Word Sexy Chat. We got people on there now. And a matter of fact, Melody just came back with, my parents were divorced when I was young, and she never said anything negative about my father. The co-parenting was more important, and in reflecting on that, she didn't skew my relationship of men or my father because she didn't badmouth him. And I agree with that. I think that even though you had a relationship that was messed up with this man or woman, and you guys broke up for whatever reason and he didn't stay, you know, why bash that man to the kids? Because that is their father. you know, a mother. I don't think that that's right for you to do that. I mean, even though you got hurt, you want to hurt your, you know, you look at the kid and say you look like him, you fucked up looking like him, and, you know, I'm sorry if you got hurt like that. But I don't think the kids need to go through that. What do you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You hit it right on the head. But see, that's the only way that a lot of times some people can get back at the person when the person is gone. They figure, okay, I can strike out and plant this seed here. So when you come around and you want to try to be a father, whatever the case may be, then I got this venom put against you. You got nothing coming over here because you did this to me. It's a very lame attempt to get back as opposed to moving on. And it's really difficult in our society to move on or to be bigger than, you know, the drama. Like D.B. was saying, some people, men and women, they can't function without some sort of calamity going on. They got to have something. There's got to be some screaming or some phone throwing or something like that, man. It's terrible. It's sad.
Now, the lady that was on a few minutes ago, I got you back again. I'm going to let D.B. say what he's going to say in a few minutes. But, lady, after he speaks, can you please, I want you to comment on that. So go ahead, D.B.
In this world, they teach you that vengeance is much better than catharsis. You know, it's better to lash out and be mean and be mad than it is to, you know, be a better person. Now, you know, somebody asked me to do a study, and I was like, okay. They said, go to, you know, certain websites, I won't say which one, and they have pictures on these websites. And they say, if anything good is on it, they'll have a white person. If anything negative, they'll have a black person. So I was like, you know, I didn't believe it. But then when I went and did the research, they were right. I pulled up certain articles with pictures on them, and everything that dealt with the downfall of relationships had a minority couple, and everything that dealt with how to date and how to meet men or how to meet girls had, you know, a white front on it. So essentially what they're telling you is it's kind of like subliminal, the way that they teach you that, you know, black relationships are doomed to fail, and if you really want a great relationship, be a white-on-white couple. And I think that's, you know, kind of the message that we're getting. So I see a lot of relationships. I'm not saying that, they're related, but what I am saying is that everyone else sees that there's something wrong in black relationships, that there's something inherently wrong. And
let me tell you something. And you're right. And let me say this, and then I'm going to let the lady, if she wants to comment, to say something. But, you know, a lot of this, I think, a lot of times people try to blame our slavery background on that because, you know, how we were split up as families. You know, they took us apart and split us against our will. So a lot of people try to use that mentality and say that, well, that's the reason why men don't never stay with their wives or whatever, or move away and stay gone, because they're not used to it, because it's instilled in them. And I think it's a cop-out to say that, but it's instilled in them to stay because of the slave background that we had, of families being sold to breaking up. Do you think there's any validity to that?
No.
I don't think so either.
If you think about it, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you would barely find a black family, a single black mother. You know what I'm saying? It was an oddity. You didn't see it. So, and that was basically 60, 70 years after slavery had ended.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, you can point fingers all you want and say, well, slavery did this, but that's already been disproven. Because right after slavery, families were trying to find each other. They were doing everything in their power to get back together.
And that's just like saying Cleopatra wasn't black. Okay, now, let's go back to the lady.
They tell you that, too.
Yeah, and Hannibal, too. Now, lady, ma'am, 773 area code, are you there?
Yes, Mary.
I'm sorry, Mary. Now, what do you have to say about that? You heard the last few comments. We got about 16 minutes, and then we're going to have to let our poets tell everybody how to get their information. So what do you think about
that? Okay, the only thing that I have to say is society has taught us how to sit on a pity pot. I was raised by a mom who didn't believe in it. I was raised by a parent who believed that you are responsible for your actions. You give what you put in. And that's what I teach my kids. And that's one of the reasons why I love GPA and become fond of Cotton's poetry, because they hit on moments that I cherished when I was in a relationship. I learned to cherish those moments and move on.
Okay.
And
well,
we as
going
a society
back to go,
need
okay.
not to be sitting on pin pots.
Right. Going back to the chat
They're
room one more time,
Melanie says, we don't even see real black love anymore in the media, so it's even harder to have a model of strength to follow. Now, I know they try to have these little shows on BET and all this about, you know, some of this black relationships or whatever, you know, Let's Stay Together, the new show that's out now with Tracee Ellis Ross and all that. But is that really a fair depiction of black love?
No, a lot of people, I mean, it goes back to the Hustables. If you think about it, as good as the Cosby Show was for us to turn on Thursday nights and watch, it wasn't realistic because how many black families, first of all, look where they were at. Then look, there was a lawyer and a doctor as the head of the family. Now, that's cool. We love to have that, but that's not realistic. There's people working like jobs, like where they got to take extra shifts to make ends meet. So they didn't have, it's easy to be all lovey-dovey, my opinion, to be lovey-dovey. When
like
the
good times, right?
When the
more of the good
right,
times
oh
type
goodness.
Of family.
Let's be honest,
yeah.
You can't find a doctor and a lawyer.
Even good times wasn't
right
real.
And good times wasn't really all the way, was it? I mean, yeah. It showed two poor couples. I mean, a couple that was poor. One was a janitor and the wife, I guess she was a stay-home wife, and she did work sometimes.
That was depressing.
And eventually they faced the head of the house.
Oh, my God. That was just depressing.
Yeah.
Good times was depressing.
It was depressing. Yes, it was. But you got to remember, there was a white man's version of that because it was written by Norman Lear, who was a white man. And of course, you know, the Jeffersons and all that, you know, that's their depiction of what they wanted us to see of society at that time. And Melanie's right. There isn't real black love on TV or in the media.
Right.
The only thing you see is people dying or death or we're killing each other or something. Or, like you said, a single-parent home, and it's always the woman that's in charge. The man is always gone or in jail or dead or just don't give a fuck. You know, it's always got to be that, and I just don't understand that. So,
no, I like remember. I mean, y'all remember Rock? You know what I'm saying? With Charles,
right?
Benton,
the show, The Rock.
You know, like that show. The reason why it didn't succeed because you know Rock was a garbage man or driver.
Garbage
I can't remember
man.
I think he was a garbage man. But the truth of the matter is,
yeah, he was.
It was a well written show. You know, it's just that nobody wanted to watch it. You know, because we'd rather see these idealized, you know, these pretty versions of what black people can be, and that's fine. But I'm gonna tell you, in today's world, you can't find a doctor and a lawyer living in the same house that are gonna be happy. I love the Huxtables, and I would love to see that happen. But more often than not, they don't get to see each other, and you certainly aren't gonna have five happy kids.
No,
you know. So
that's
I mean,
true.
The thing is,
now,
I guess that's why it's a sitcom. You know, because it's not
situation
really supposed
comedy.
To depict real life, right? You know,
no.
It's not supposed to depict real life. It's just supposed to take, you know, one isolated family and one isolated event and make laughs out of them, which is fine. And I appreciate Bill Cosby for that. Because we can all we can all watch the Cosby Show right now and laugh.
That's right. Well, let me say this real quick because we're losing time. Let me go ahead and say this real quick. This is one last thing I'm going to get from the chat room. Melanie wants me to make sure I say this. And she said that people don't even understand peace and understand in a relationship. Peace and understanding in a relationship. They have never seen it. And sometimes it's even associated with whiteness, with some black people rebel against as a form of self-hate. And she says she agrees with you, DV. Okay, and she's talking more about the Cosby. Well, I want y'all to comment on that real quick because we got about 10 minutes, and I want to give the poets a chance to tell people how to get their media. So let's get quick response on that real fast.
So what I want to say is because we've cut me out of this conversation.
No, we did not cut you out.
What I want to say is that when a woman has a man, when I see a woman that has a good man that I know is a good man, it makes me angry to know that she is not treating him well. And so there are these good relationships or these women or these men that have these good women and these women that have these good men, but they're not treating them well. And so people end up staying, and in turn they're scarred later because now they stayed in this relationship. And so what I'm going to say, what I'm about to say right now is that I'm angry, and I'm angry with him.
So does that make you spoken word now?
But I don't want to feel like this, but I'm angry with the baddest position because of him.
Listen,
the last night I ever feel like this, but it's his fault.
Because if he were here, I wouldn't be missing the aroma of his lovemaking, the late-night conversations, the love he exudes, the kisses he lay up on my body. See, I'm not just missing our making love, but I'm missing the love we make. It's his fault. I'm in love. And as I lay here in my anger with my emotions out of sorts, I understand that if he were here right now, I wouldn't be angry. I would be giving him what I desire, allowing him to lay his strong hands up on my breast, kissing the back of my neck. So as I continue to think of the reasons why I'm angry with him, I realize I'm not angry with him. I'm angry at the fact that he's not here with me, and I miss loving him. So at 3:28 a.m., as I lay here alone, I pick up the phone, I dial his number, and I want to ask, how does he feel?
At 3:25 a.m., I pick up the phone, and I answer. And I hear a voice on the other end asking me, how do I feel? And that, without a moment of hesitation, I respond, and I tell her, I'm mad about you. I'm mad about you. This morning I sit at this breakfast table, and I'm hating the fact that you are here with me the same way that Cain hated his brother Abel. See, I woke up this morning and the sun was shining, and the weather in Chicago was at an even temperature for once. But it wouldn't have mattered if it did rain, so long as you were here. See, I got up this morning and I said a prayer and I went to the weight room. No, that's not the whole story. I got up this morning and got in a state of genuflection so I could pray. I said, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes, putting air in my lungs, letting my ears hear, letting my fingers be able to touch. Lord, thank you for this beagle that's running around my house. Thank you for my family members. Thank you for this beautiful woman in my life. Lord, thank you for being alive. Got up, washed my private spot, went to the weight room so I could work out. Started out with some push-ups, did some bench presses, flat, incline, decline, did some triceps so I can look like the protector. That when we're walking down the street, with me walking on the outside and you walking on the inside, let me rewind that. With me walking on the outside and you walking on the inside, I look like the man that can protect you. Came home and I showered. And because I'm dark-skinned, when I get out the shower, I don't put on lotion or just baby oil. I use olive oil. So when you take these clothes off me in a moment of intimacy, I'm ebony and not ashy because I'm mad about you. And see, as you probably figured out, I am a poet. So when I wake up and I'm taking care of my responsibilities, on my way to work, I'm writing poems to and about you. When I'm sitting at work, supposed to be working, I'm writing poems to and about you. When I'm on my way home on the train, on a bus, I get on my BlackBerry, get on Facebook, and I use my status to write poems to and about you. And damn it, sometimes we can't sleep because before making love, sometimes during making love, and after making love, I'm reciting poems to and about you. And I recite these poems to touch all of your sensibilities. Maybe I can put something on your mind so you think about me. Maybe I can touch your heart so every time it beats, you feel something for me. Or maybe sometimes when you're alone and I haven't got to you yet, when you touch yourself, you can think about me as if I was touching you because I'm mad about you. Lady, I'm mad about you. See, I have found the answer to the matrix. And it was taught to me by a wise man. His name was Mr. Fix. And yes, that's my dearly departed dad. And that's not to make you sad. It's just from a father to a son, he shared the knowledge that he had. And he said, son, it's biblical. From Adam, Eve was created to be Adam. So from the true fruition of God's plan, from man, woman was created to be with man. And he said, son, find you a good woman. So, ladies, as you asked me this question early in the morning, I answer, I'm mad about you. I'm mad about you. My poem.
All right. Well, we heard it here on Word Sexy Radio, and we got an extra 30 minutes added onto the show because the show is hot, and they wanted us to do some more. So we're going to keep it going for another 30 minutes. So if you got any questions for the poets, you need to be calling in right now. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're doing it right now. And, yeah, he's mad about you as well because you know how to do that. We're going to play this song for Melody because she gave all these questions to us. We're going to do that real quick, and then we're going to start talking a little more after this.
Spill like this. It's
and GPA. If we talk about relationship and listen to that poetry that they're bringing us, that's what we do here on Grown Folks Radio.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, the thing about JPL, were you finished?
I'm done. You good.
See how humble she, see how she does it, just yields and just gives him his props and all that. I just love
wow.
how that relationship is with each other. How y'all do that? She makes sure,
wow.
are you done? Go ahead.
You know, the thing that I like about GPA and myself is that when he did write Mad About You, I did hear it. It was great. But when I wrote I'm Angry with him, Mad About You wasn't in mind. I literally woke up one morning angry because I didn't have that special someone next to me, and I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. It was a little shorter than what it is now. And when he read it, like you said, I sent it to him, and then when he read it, he thought that they would go great. And then when we did it, and it was great. It's the thing that the other thing that I like about it is because we write in different places, and sometimes he writes about things that I've already written about, or vice versa. And we don't know it because we've not had these conversations, but they just happen to go really great together. So I just feel like he's my poetry god and just came in out of nowhere. So we collaborate poetry without
god.
Actually sitting down collaborating with each other, you know. So it works out.
So he's not a muse, he's a god. Damn. That's higher than a muse, huh?
My poem.
DV, what you think about that? He's not a muse, he's a god.
Poetry
god. Far be it for me to judge.
He's a poetry god. I'm not judging. I'm messing with Cotton. She know I'm messing with her. Don't even get upset. You know I'm just messing with you. If you think he's a poetry god, then he's a poetry god. I was seeing The Immortals yesterday, and I thought that was a great movie, too. So, you know.
Poetry deity.
Well, you know, it's kind of like having chemistry with somebody who doesn't even live near you, but you have this great chemistry, and it just happens to work out really, really well. And I think that GP and I have a really great chemistry when it comes to poetry, and it just happens to work out really, really well. Neither of us would.
And I like that. DV, do we have good chemistry, man? We talk on the phone, on the radio and stuff, and do we have good chemistry? I understand what she's saying, and I'm just messing with you. I understand that the creativity that y'all have together is phenomenal, and y'all do it well, and that's why I think y'all should do a book together and maybe do a CD together where y'all do something back and forth together, and you know, just kind of work it out. I think that's very good of you, and that would be great because we don't see that all the time. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Did someone say something? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut.
No, I said that's cool. No. I said you must have read Samaya's because she asked me to be on a upcoming CD that's going to start recording in January, so I'm going to be on that with her. So that's what's up. I mean, yeah.
Well, Miss Cotton, I asked you to collaborate with me to do a book, and you declined.
Well, you're on GPA already.
I don't have GPA. I'm LLJ. No, I'm R-E-D. I don't have any letters in my name, so I can't be collaborated with. I understand.
Can I get a short minute? Because I had something.
Go
I
ahead, baby.
To
go ahead. I want you to say something, please.
I had something I wanted to say. I wrote this piece probably about maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And so I just want to do it. It's not very long, so I want to do it real quick.
Well, we got 23 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. Dear poet, excuse me, I mean GPA, I thought of you today. As I walk through the park, it's sunny out, so my thoughts are traveled far away from my own reality. In my thoughts, I imagined you were here with me, allowing the freshly cut grass to cover my bare feet, kissing our manicured toes. Eventually, we stop to decide on where we want to sit. The birds are singing, children are playing around us, but away from where we communicate, this is a private conversation. We talk about things like as we lay and when we lay and how we appreciate each other. You tell me you would build me the biggest house my heart desires, and I will continue to inspire the man that you are. See, our love started from afar, 3,000 miles away. Now we sit here together in my mind in this beautiful space, talking and laughing, holding and kissing. You is what I've been missing. Dear poetic answer, my GPA. We had a lovely day.
Hey, can I say something? if it's okay. Now, don't take it wrong, because y'all know I'm going to come at you. Is there some kind of love relationship going on here that we don't know about, or what is the hell is going on here? Tell us about it. Because I think y'all doing some shit. What y'all doing?
We're doing poetry.
I've been hearing chemistry, and everything is working, and we're collabing this, and I love you, GPA, and all of that. What the hell is going on?
We have poetry, and poetry is something that, you know, we have the opportunity to express how we feel, and honestly, there are moments when I feel certain things for GPA because I think he is such a great writer. He's really a
Have you guys met in person?
I love the way he puts words out there.
Have you guys met in person? Have y'all met in person?
Yes.
Okay. That is my answer. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay, now we got 21 minutes, and we're going to give you guys a chance to kind of go over how people can get your spoken word, or your not spoken word, your poetry, and how they can even maybe get you to come in and do some poetry or get some of your work. And we'll start with Miss Cotton, and then GPA, you can do yours. And then I want to see if my man DV has something to say about his upcoming project that he has. I think it's, I don't know if it's out yet, but I kind of want to hear a little bit about that anthology. So go ahead.
Okay, so I will be releasing my sixth book January 3rd, and for those who know me know what January 3rd date is, so I want to make sure that nobody forgets that'd be the day that I release. I have
that would be someone's birthday, wouldn't it?
That would be someone's birthday.
Yes, okay.
I have shows that are coming up. I also have some other people's. I'm actually writing a song for an artist who does his own thing here locally, so I'm collaborating with him. I'm doing some other shows that are coming up in Santa Clara, San Jose, and The Winter Love is coming December 11th here in Sacramento, where GPA will be here. You can find me on Amazon.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I have a lot of things that I have going on right now, and I'm very excited. So make sure you continue to support whatever it is I have going on.
Okay, so that guy that you're collaborating with there in the California area, is his name RPT, or is it NYA, or it, what letters is his name? Okay, GPA, go ahead, brother.
Hey
man, you know it's Word Sexy Radio. Come on, brother.
This Friday I'll be in Detroit. I'll be headlining there. Then next week I'm here at there's a presentation. It'll be all on my website, iblowyourmind.com, which you can find everything, especially the CD, the GPA Experience. It's also on Amazon.com as well as my books. December 11th, I will, you know, feature performer at the Winter of Love. It starts the Love Season of Love tour with Cotton Campbell, who will be hosting, and I'll be traveling to Sacramento to do my thing. The Mind of a
Who lives in Sacramento? I think I know someone who lives in Sacramento. Okay, go ahead.
No doubt. My Ryan partner. I ain't gonna lie to you. We didn't form the Ryan partnership that just covers all sort of distances in time and space.
Bro, I'm messing with you, man. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I got my new book coming out, The Mind of an Unsub, early next year. So be on the lookout for that. And make sure you get a listen if you can to the GPA Experience. It's hot. You know, sorry for some of the auditory problems we were having tonight, but it's a hot CD, so you know you need to check that out.
I'm going to play that again on the way out there in a minute, because I want people to hear that, because that was really very, very good. I want people to listen to that one again. So I'm going to definitely play that. Hopefully I can. Let me get it up. But that's good. I'm glad you guys and I mess with you, but I'm just playing with you, as you know. I'm glad that there are people that can collab together and do some things and do work together, because that's what it's all about. It's not just about, you know, being on your own a lot of times, but you know, and I think it's great that we're able to do projects and stuff together and do things, because like I said, we're going to try to do one of those tours here in the Kansas City area as well, hopefully a summer love, and we want you guys to come and do that thing, because you know, there's a lot of people who do spoken word here in Kansas City, And we want them to see what real poetry is all about. So that's what it's, that's what I would like to do. And I want to, you know, put my backing on it, because I want to try to do something like a Harlem, you know how they do in Harlem, the book fair? I want to try to do one of those in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we want to try to get some authors from all over to come in to the Midwest and see that we do exist as well here in the Kansas City area. And we want to do that. And DV, hopefully he's going to be involved in that, and Melanie and all those people. You know, and we want to do that. So we got about 17 minutes, and I want to get DV to go ahead and speak on that anthology real quick that's coming out. Is that out yet, DV?
No, it is in its final stages of being put together.
Okay. So did you want to say anything on that, or you just want to just leave it at that?
Yeah, very briefly. There's an anthology coming out. No, like a bunch of authors, a series of authors have gotten together and put together a series of erotic stories. It's the brainchild of Melody, the one who kept harassing us online today, but it's her brainchild and her baby. And basically, you know, the list of authors, there's Julia Press Simmons, Colin Morales, Keith Williams, Ellen Blakely, Kaiksa, and myself. Along with a few other authors, putting together the novel. In all actuality, it should probably be out around this time next month is what we're really hoping for. So be on the lookout for that. But we're going to start putting updates on Facebook. So, you know, like...
I really want to get some of that. I want to check that out, because I heard that the book was hot. I want to, you know, get some of that. So if you do put some things out on that, that'd be great.
You know, we sent it out for a few test readers, and they were kind of blown away. So there are high hopes.
Erotic First, that's the name of it?
Right. Well, no.
Untapped.
Yes, it's called Untapped. You call it Erotic First, Melly, you may stab me in the throat. So the name of the book is called Untapped and a Series of Erotic Firsts. So
okay, I'm
look
sorry,
out
Melly.
For it.
Melly, don't get upset. No, you're going to get me.
Look out for it.
All right, well.
So, it should be out about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get myself, because I usually don't promote me. A lot of people, there were some people that said I'd promote myself, but I don't think I do. But as you know, anybody who follows Red Snapper, you know that I have a couple of books that I just put out in the last couple of months. One, a paranormal joint called The Curie Ones that I was going to do with another company, but some reason that fell through and everything, but I did go ahead and put it out myself, which I'm kind of happy with the way I did it myself anyway. So that's out. That just came out yesterday, actually, and that dropped yesterday. And I had put out about 2 weeks ago, there was a new short novel, a novella that I put out called A Sisterhood's Burning Desire. And a lot of people have been asking me, because the way I ended it that way for a reason. It was a short book, and they were asking me, well, you left me hanging. Well, that's the reason, so I can see if you liked it or not, so I can write more. But I just wanted to do that. And I see that Melanie has said that the Untapped Collection Erotic First will be out for the holidays. That's what she said. So DV, she knows, all right? But, yeah, I just want to say that, you know, I got some stuff going on, and I just want to kind of get that. And any of my books, if you want to get them, like I said in the beginning of the show, I'm doing a special where if you have Kindle and Nook, you can get all my books for 99 cents. You can get all 10 of my novels right now for 99 cents each, and you can read them all for you can get them for 99 cents up until the 31st of December. So January 1st, 2012, they go back to regular prices, so... If you want to dog me out, and if you don't like it and you paid 99 cents for it, that's fine. You paid 99 cents. So, hey, I get the 99 cents. But anyway, we're glad that you guys were able to come on tonight. And we got 13 minutes, so we're not done yet. But I want to give you all a chance to – do y'all have, like, one more poem, a piece that you want to do? Because I can play track two if you want me to, or I can go ahead and let you do one live. Which one would you like to do, GPA? And then, Miss Cotton – you have another one as well.
Yes.
I got a poem. I wanted to debut on your show. It's not been done anywhere else. So I wanted to
Okay. All right. Okay, so which one of y'all want to go first? Is the ladies first, or will Mr. GPA be the first?
Ladies first. Always ladies first.
All right, Ms. Cotton.
I'm on. Okay. It's morning.
I love how she does this. She's so humble. I just love it. Go ahead, baby. It's morning. Go ahead.
It's morning. We lay here basking in the aroma of our sexual scent. This right here was meant for just us two. We play sex games and explore. We even use our sexual toys. This is for our sexual joy and relaying. A ray of sun shines through the window as we role-play our different positions, sexual pleasure permission. This right here is a competition. See, we compete to see who will come first or last. Only one of us can pass this simple test, and we do our best. It's morning, and I'm still wet from last night. Is the camera still on? Close the door and turn off the light. This is about to be our motion picture. Move your body closer, a little bit near to her. Kiss me, and I'll kiss you back. Can you hit it from the back? It's morning, and that ain't sunlight across your face. See, moments like these can't be erased or replaced. A smile comes across your face. For in this morning, I'll ride you like I was in a race. Saddle long, keep up with my pace. It's morning, I got first place.
Damn, I want to hit it from the back. Anyway, all right, now, GPA.
Candles lit, lights turned off, blinds closed, locks checked and secured, returning to you. With anticipation, my lips moistened, moistened the magnificent land that is your skin, clothing long discarded. You are the beauty as God made you. Angry hunger overcomes restraint, devouring the chocolate kisses that are your mountain's peaks. Your hands fiercely gripping my bald head as I nibble nipples, serving as placating palates. The soft moans touching your lips are the only words we speak. At 120 minutes before, we indulged in intimate, intricate foreplay. But now as midnight approaches, the nocturnal brings out the further freak. Palms from mountain slopes and peaks to exchange breaths that are the first of many. I leave your kisses to nibble nape of your neck, where I know your spot lies. As stated earlier, forgive redundancy, but play four completed. Male protagonist is erotic. Tail enters soaking cavern with feral thrust enthusiastically. And rest assured, I have plenty. The seventh leather is a mythical spot to most, but to reach it and your orgasm tonight, I'll experiment as much as need be, exhaust the entire night, or resulting in obelisks giving pornographic tries, poetic plans to place a smile on your face that will continue throughout the day while the face below continually cries. Dark skin of mine, skin of yours becomes one, one color, one skin, and one person. Bisexual has a different meaning as close as we are. A secret count in my head as I try to figure out 60 thrusts, 60 thrusts, 60 thrusts, 60 thrusts, 60 thrusts. Wait. I lost my count, so I have to begin again. This time I place you in the jackknife. You know, you on your left side, your left leg straight, right leg curved towards your chest high. Me in between that crevice literally smacking your backside viciously with the left hand while right hand stretches forward to tilt your chin. Cerebral cortex aligned with spine from continuous back shorts. Your orgasm begins with no fear of indictment. No absence of malice as I push manhood into womanhood. I'm trying to murder you. Mischievous machinations are for my onslaught to lead from one to multiples. You scream continuously. It is a contrast where you scream loud and guttural like a hellhound. While you are beautiful like an angel from heaven, you gaze towards your alarm clock, and the smaller hand has touched 11. And we are only 60 minutes before midnight. My poem.
Damn, man. You know, when he was reading that poem, man, I'm going to tell you the truth. It felt like, it seemed like I seen your balls slapping against her ass while you was fucking shit out of her. That shit was just off the damn chain. And, you know, I could, you know, and she was talking about kiss me there and kiss me here. And I thought about, you know, my boys, you know. That scene, that song, and I came from Digital Underground, and I'm like, damn, man, how come my balls ain't slapping her ass? He said, you know, he get me from behind and shit. You know, I'm just, that was absolutely magnificent. Y'all definitely need to collaborate and do some things together. That is great. And, you know, a lot of things together you can do together. How about that? heard that here first on Word Sexy Radio. We got about 7 minutes left, and like I said, I'm just glad that you guys were able to come on and, you know, spend
some
time with us,
me.
Even though you ended up spending 2 hours on the show today. And that's great.
Woo.
Because, you know, a lot of times we don't get that much time, but, you know, Word Sexy Radio is what it is, grown folks radio, and that's what we do. So, and hopefully everybody who had a question, we try to get the questions out. I think I'm going to try the lady again, Miss Mary. We got about 7 minutes. Do you have any last words you want to say before I proceed to close?
I just want to say the show was hot. The poetry is
Ayo.
Hot. I'm enjoying
it. All right. You heard it here on Word Sexy Radio. And like I said, we thank you, Miss Mary, for that because, you know, we want to keep this show like it is. And the way it's designed is,
and more importantly, support the people who do it.
Can I say
right.
that I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Mary, and she's a beautiful person. She
all
really
right.
is. I meant to say that earlier, but I just wanted to tell Mary that I think she's such a beautiful person. I got a chance to meet her when I was in Chicago, and she's such a beautiful person.
Cotton,
right.
Trimble,
well,
I got a
good.
Question. I got a question for you. Cotton, I got a question for you. Can I ask you a
go
question?
Ahead with it. Go ahead. And please answer him, please.
Yeah. Yes,
okay, I got a question. This is my question. I've been waiting to ask you this to the end of the show, so I wanted to ask you this. This is me speaking to you. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. Would you wait for me?
Leave some time for me now so I can play my outro.
Ruin it. No problem. Would you wait for me? Would you hold on as I get myself together? I've taken extra hours at my current job and picked up a second job. Plus, I'm paid to perform places and sell my merchandise. Besides all of that, I work in real estate with my buddies. You know, rehabbing, flipping, and selling houses. I drive an old car, but I'm building towards an upgrade. Just wanted to give you details of all the way I'm getting paid. I'm not trying to brag or boast or anything like that. Just know it's important for a woman to feel secure. And please, understand that my intentions are pure. So please, wait for me. As I came from a neither place, neither love or loyalty existed in that realm. I felt like a miscreant servant with a tyrant captain at the helm. I cannot recall a sweet voice with complimentary intentions speaking into my ear. That's why I'm convinced that God has sent you here. So forgive me if I'm hesitant to speak words in response to your words of affection, but guarded is a barrier bracing my heart from being hurt again. So call it self-preservation or emotional protection. I want to hold your hand, kiss your lips, spend days till they turn to nights and days again. I knew vultures before you arrived here, dog, and they brought trust to near its end. So as I've become accustomed to your kind heart, wait for me. And I agree that this man asked a lot of you. I only ask that because you're quintessential, unequivocal, and exactly the woman you should be. And as I see you in front of my eyes, my thoughts, while I daydream or sleep, you're the one for me. Pray patience as a strong virtue and the concept of love so we can bring about fruitful. Tell you of my aspirations because truly believe that the best behavior and affection and wealth, that would suit you. And I don't want you to look back decades from now thinking you might have settled, looking at me sideways, not like your man isn't a blessing, but in your life I'm nettled. Confession good for the soul and honesty is always a good way to begin. So with all that said, please forgive the intensity that speaks forth from within. I ask you to wait for me. My poem. Now I do your outro.
Here's something. Okay, no, that ain't the outro because I got some music. But this, I'm going to say this before I let y'all go. Miss Cotton, are you? I got a question for you.
Yes.
Miss Cotton, I
yes.
got something I want to say. Get this motherfucker pussy so he can stop begging, goddammit.
You know, I was gonna say, you remember that part in Mahogany where he was asking her if she would take care of him. Man, I felt like Diana Ross. So I just wanted to say yes to everything.
Hey, it's been great having y'all on the show. So I'm gonna go ahead and close it out with a song right now. So y'all just come on back next week, cause we'll be right back here again. Okay.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. Okay.
Peace. Peace, DB.
Have a good one.
Hey, peace.
Thank you.
Tell me, will you?